Thank you so much, Paul. That was beautiful. Thank you. The beautiful music we've had today has been so appropriate, and we are grateful for that. It's good to see you as we come to worship. Let me invite you, please, to turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. And we'll begin reading at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw a star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Let me lead us, please, as we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the story of the journey of these Magi. Thank you for the way they come into the Christmas story, the way they find Bethlehem, the way they come to Christ. And our prayer today is that we too, as a church family, can experience something of the journey they experienced on the way to Bethlehem as they brought their gifts to worship. For this is our prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen. When the wise men made their journey, there was no way for them to have known exactly where it would take them. I would imagine that as they got together, and presumably these were astrologers and scientists, as they got together and studied the heavens and the stars, for whatever reason, they came to a conclusion that God had given a particular sign. And they saw something in the heavens, they saw something in the sky that they were going to pursue, they were going to follow. How they came to that decision, how they saw something that many others did not see, or however that happened, it was so convicting to them that they decided that they would go on a journey together. And they would simply follow the guidance of the star wherever it would lead them. Can you imagine these men who are in whatever exactly they do, they are in some upper part of society. Can you imagine them telling their families or their friends or their colleagues that they're going to go on a journey? And I could imagine family members saying, "Well, when will we see you again?" And I suppose the only thing they could say is, "Well, we're not quite sure." And I could imagine families saying, well, what would possibly lead you at this point in time to take a journey and you're not sure when you're coming back? And I say, well, we've seen a sign. There's a star in the sky and there's something that compels us to pursue it. We feel led to follow this thing that we believe that God has placed before us. And undoubtedly, there had to be a lot of skepticism. Many people wondering, why is it that some of our finest, best trained, highly educated, most respected people will all of a sudden start following something that they see as a sign in the sky? So they started a journey, not knowing exactly where all of that would take them. They followed. How many miles they went, who knows? How many steps they took, it's a wild guess. How many days and nights they did this thing, we don't know. But however, it all shook out. There's this one thing we do know, that they believed it in their heart so very much that God had given them a sign, that they decided and they made a commitment that no matter how many days and nights, and by the way, I imagine they must have counted nights, that's when they would see the sign, how many nights, how many miles, how many steps they would take until they reached the destination. They didn't know any of that. They didn't know the full outcome of where that journey would take them. And yet, a sign in the heavens was sufficient enough for them to take one step in faith, one day's journey in faith, 1 mile, 1 mile in faith, and off they went. Every moment, relying on a gift that God had given, a sign that God had brought to them, and the only way, wherever they came from, if you've ever looked at a map, the east is a pretty big area, however you do this, coming from the east, going to where they were, however they did all of that, they did every single day of it, every single night of it, every single step of it, every single breath along the way, they did that by faith. They had nothing else. They had a God who had given them a sign, and they walked in faith to see where that would take them. They knew that this was going to be worth the journey because someday, at some point, there would be a newborn king lying under that sign that God had given them. So off they went, exploring, following, talking as they went. And finally a day came, and they ended up in Jerusalem. And it seems as if they started asking people in Jerusalem, you know, we've traveled a very long way because a newborn king is in this place. And as they started talking to people in Jerusalem, one of the most oddest things ever happened. It seems as if they could not find one single person with one bit of information about the birth of a newborn king. I would imagine for several days they went up and down the streets and talked to all kinds of people, shop owners, people just living out their day, people in restaurants, people at recreation, people going to work, or people, hey, what about that thing? What about that star in the sky? There's a king that has been born in this place. And everybody's like, we don't know anything about a king being born in this place. There hasn't been anything that has told us. We have not been alerted that there is such news. So finally, they get in to see Herod himself, the king. And they say to Herod, hey, we have come from the east and we followed this star. Where is the king? And Herod was as surprised and as shocked as anybody else on the street, for he knew nothing about a king. Because if there in fact, in his mind, been a king, he would have been on full alert being Herod. This is the Herod who executed his wife, Maryam, and two of his sons because he was fearful that in some way they would grasp his own kingship right out from under him. So if there was a king anywhere around, Herod would know about it. And when the wise men came to see Herod, and Herod didn't know anything about it, what an unbelievable dilemma. So Herod asked the wise men, when did you see the star? Because I can almost hear Herod's thoughts now when he's looking around and thinking, I haven't seen a star. Nobody in the king's courts have been coming to me and saying that in the night there's been a star. There have been no reports on the news to me. Nobody has come to me and said something about a star in the sky. And Herod was somewhat upset about all of this. And it caused all of Jerusalem to be upset. And Herod called for the religious leaders, for the high priests and the scribes. He called them all together and said, look, here's what we got. We got some wise men who've traveled from the east, and a star has led them to this place, and they're looking for a newborn king, and so they start searching the scripture. The priests, the scribes, they come back to Herod, and they say, oh, we think we've got this now. There is a passage of scripture that indicates that there is going to be a king who is going to be born, and that king is going to be born in Bethlehem, just 6 miles down the road. So Herod now has the place. But he still doesn't know when all of this has happened. So he's relying on the information given to him by the wise men to put it together so that he too can get into the story and sort it out. So he too can have as much information as anybody else on the planet has, because after all, this is his job. He is the king. He doesn't need a rival king. And so working through the scribes and working through the high priest, he can put the story in Bethlehem. Putting together the pieces that the wise men give him, he can put some time reference to all of this. When the wise men leave Herod, the star appears to them again and leads them to the place where Jesus is. An angel appeared to the wise men and alerted them not to go back through Herod, because Herod was waiting for a report. He still needed to know exactly in Bethlehem where he could find a child. And the angel told the wise men that they should find a different way back home, which they did. And you know the story. Herod cast a net as far and as wide as he could, and based on the information from religious scholars and wise men, he ordered the execution and the slaughter of all the baby boys in Bethlehem, 2 years and younger. But what an incredible journey for wise men. Following a star, not knowing where it would take them, bumping into Herod, finding themselves in Jerusalem, and then ultimately finding the child as the star led them on. Just want to take that story of Christmas, that part of it, and look at where we are and who we are in the Christmas story as a church family. I think anybody who knows us knows that we are on a journey as a church family, that we are having to take steps of faith every breath we take, every mile we move, every time the sun sets and rises again. We are, as family, on a journey, not knowing where the star is going to take us, but only knowing that God is present, and God knows what's under the star. And God knows where to place that star. And God knows how to move a people as they journey following a star. We as a church family are on a journey. What the journey looks like, nobody knows. Where it all ends, nobody knows. What it all looks like, all said and done, nobody quite knows. But this we do know, that God cares about His people enough, so much so, that He has given this church family on this day, in this time, a journey, the opportunity to follow a star and to see what and where and how the Christ child is revealed in all of that. What do we have to go on? Not much, except God creates stars, and that's going to have to satisfy you. That God can create the sun and the moon. That God can cause the sun to rise and God can cause the sun to set. And if that's not good enough for us, then we'll just throw in a little resurrection. God can raise the dead. And we can follow a star. Not everybody will understand why a group of people would follow a star. And here's the oddest of all things to me in this story. The very ones in Jerusalem who should have known to detail what this story was all about had to receive all of their information from wise men coming from the east, and then calling together their religious scholars and piecing all of that stuff together. It is an amazing story of God bringing people into the story who are far away from home. People in the story who had probably never been to Jerusalem, And yet the people who are only moments and minutes away from where Jesus was born did not see a star. It's apparent that they didn't hear any of the reports from the shepherds in the fields because Jerusalem just didn't know. And here we are with what we just don't know, except that God is shining among us. God is leading us. God has a star for His people to follow. And every day, we get to receive and take the journey of faith. It's the only way we'll get there. The wise men could have called that trip halfway and said, you know what, we didn't anticipate we would have to travel. Let's just go back home. They could have said, this can go on forever. We don't know. They could have said, this isn't worth it. It was exciting at first, but now it's just not worth it anymore. They could have said, why doesn't everybody get it? They could have got to Jerusalem and said, if nobody in Jerusalem, of all places, knows what has happened in their backyard, how is it going to ever be possible for us to know what is happening in their backyard? They could have looked into the eyes of King Herod and said, you know what? We have wandered into far too dangerous territory. We can see where all this is going. We can see it in his eyes. He no more intends to worship. He will have our heads. And they had plenty of reason to just call the whole thing off and say, we're not going to follow a star. Just give us our hometown. Just give us our conveniences where we come from in the East. Just let us have that. That's good enough for us. But the Christmas story is the story of a journey, not only of wise men from the East, it is also the journey of God from heaven, from shepherds in the fields, from angels coming down. And you can't have Christmas without a journey in it. And here we find ourselves in the Christmas season as a church family on a journey together. What it looks like, how it takes us, where it takes us is in God's hands. And I wish I could just detail it out to you and say, here is everything about it we need to know. But God's better than that. He just says, come on, dear people. Take a step in faith. Walk a day in faith. And trust me, whatever and however and wherever that star leads you is my gift to you. That's why we take the journey. That's why we walk in faith. That's why we have each other. That's why we are all praying together. That's why we are all discerning together. That's why we all come into conversation and put our hearts together. Not to figure out what our personal preferences are, but to figure out what God's heart is and to convey that with each other. This is how the heart of God is being revealed to me. This is the star that I see. And as we turn this into our journey, I can hardly wait, and I know you can't, hardly wait to know, where do these steps of faith take us? What does it look like as day by day we accept the challenge of a faithful journey? What will be under that star? How will it change our lives? How could it change a community? How could it totally reshape a future? How can it change us? So this Christmas 2017, as Ivy Memorial Baptist Church, we take the journey. We follow the star. We hold on tighter to each other. And most of the time we're watching the star, we'll be walking in the night. But there is that star that's worth walking in the night for. And when God is said and done with that star, we will be in the place at the time that God is birthing whatever new thing, wherever He has led us among us. My prayer is that this Christmas story will leap right off the pages and into our hearts. Take a journey with the wise men. And when you do so, make it an act of worship. That's why they came, to worship the newborn King. And when it's all about worshiping the King, the stars clear, the nights get shorter, the steps are sweeter. Because when you see the King, there's no sacrifice that you have made that you would want to take back for the opportunity of looking into that child's face or seeing the King of Kings. Let's follow a star. Let's walk together. Let's take a journey. Let's love each other. And let's just trust God that He deals with the kind of things we want to know about it in His time and in His way. The people who are on the journey will see exactly what they need to see on the day they need to see it. Can we do that together? Let's make this our Christmas story. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand with me, and I'm going to pray. And after I pray, I'm going to invite you to come. And as you come, wherever you come from, let that represent today the journey that you're on, perhaps your own spiritual journey, perhaps your own walk in faith. And your prayer could be very simple today. God, I know your Spirit is stirring in me. And I am willing with these people, with this church family, to share a journey together. For we sense something together, and God is working among us together. And wherever it goes, however it leads, we trust you in a journey. And maybe the only thing we can do today is just take the next step forward in faith. And that's what we do. That is beautiful progress. That's a beautiful moment. Let's take today's step in faith. Tomorrow will come. The star will be there. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for part of the Christmas story that is part of our own Ivy story. Thank you for the call to do what the wise men did. To walk into the night to follow a star, to get to Jerusalem, and from there to find their way by that star to Bethlehem so they could worship, so they could present their gifts. Father, let that be our story. We are walking in faith, seeing something that you have put before us that is new to us. And we have total and full confidence that wherever that takes us, it will take us to the right place at the right time, and Christ will be there. And to Him we give glory in the journey of faith. In Jesus' name. As we